The wheels on the cart go round and round, round and round, round and round. Wheels on the cart go round and round, all through the town. Oh, hi! I didn't hear you come in. Sorry, things are in a bit of disarray here. The master of our house asked us to prepare for a journey, but he didn't tell us when we were leaving, where we were going, only that we are to ready ourselves for this journey. So we're doing the best we can to prepare and are on alert for his arrival. It could be any minute. Have you seen him lately? Do you know what his plans are? How do you get ready when you don't know what you're getting ready for? On the other hand, if the master of the house were here, he would tell me, "Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy." He might ask when he has ever let me down or was unavailable to help me. My answer to these questions would be the same: never. I can always count on him. To be perfectly honest, I can't remember a situation when I couldn't ask for his help. I always have questions. I don't understand why my confidence seems to falter when others seem to have a steady and secure foothold. I wonder why I always compare myself to others. My faith never leaves me completely, but I find myself hesitating. I become bewildered, and anxious, and afraid. I suppose it's just my nature. I've always been inquisitive and asked a lot of questions. I like to know what's going on because when I know what's happening, I can make a plan. I put a plan in place and it gives me such a sense of security and helps me know how to move forward. Isn't this normal? Don't most people make plans? Some people are perfectly comfortable stepping into the unknown, ready at a moment's notice to face whatever lies ahead. I wish I could be more like them. I wish I could trust more and worry less. I suppose it comes down to liking a certain amount of control. I know. You think I'm a control freak? Well, I am embarrassed to admit this. My feelings of worth are too closely tied to my ability to be of service. The master of the house has a very different viewpoint. He tells me my worth is tied to the faith I put in him, not the work I do for him. He tells me there are more important ways to get ready for the road than to clean and pack. Just as one puts a plan in place for a journey, it is also important to prepare to enter into the experience of that journey. Do you know the saying, "It's not about the destination, but about the journey"? The master of the house reminds me of the importance of having the right mindset. He tells me that the groundwork I lay inwardly is more important than my outward actions. I tend to prioritize checking things off my to-do list. This is not helpful. I thought I knew what it meant to get ready. But getting ready is harder and more complicated than I had realized. I have room for improvement. Man, do I have room for improvement. I'll need to be on guard, because it does not come naturally to ready myself inwardly. While the anticipation of the road ahead can make me feel uneasy and nervous, this isn't something I can fix. The plan is quite simple. Follow the master of the house, trust in his abilities, and have faith in his plan. I realize you've caught me making tangible preparations, but I want you to know that when the master of the house arrives and asks if I'm ready, I'll be able to say I am. I've already asked myself if I'm ready in the hidden areas that only I know. I don't want to miss out on the great mystery. Great mystery of what lies ahead. In the meantime, while my hands may stay busy, the rest of me will remain alert and ready, waiting for his return, for what is to come, and watching for his arrival. I'll be able to look to him and say, I am ready. Join me in these inward preparations. Come, I'll fix a cup of tea.
I'm grateful for Janet for recording our first monologue today as we continue on with the sermon that is a set of sermons during Advent and Christmas that's going to be a little bit different than what we have traditionally done. This is going to be a sermon combined with sharing time, an opportunity for us to spend a little bit more intentional time together, discerning the scriptures as they have been brought to life through these monologues, which are sort of sermons in their own right. So an opportunity for us to share together. We won't have a separate sharing time after this, because this is going to be our sharing time, but we will have opportunity to share our prayers. So as we get ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like you to begin by taking a moment to think about a time that you went on a journey and the things that you did to prepare for it. A time that you went on a journey, significant journey to you, and what you did to prepare for it. As I read the monologue this week, I remembered a journey I recently took. A month ago, maybe more than a month ago, I had a chance to hike in Grandfather Mountain State Park. It was this beautiful day, and it was during, you know, it was fall on the western part of the state, so it was chilly. But as I drove further and further up these switchbacks, the weather got colder and colder and windier and windier. And by the time I got to the top, the wind was biting, but I was prepared. I had read about the weather, not just at the base of the mountain, but also at the visitor station at the top. I'd researched routes in advance. I'd carefully planned water. I was sure to wear layers. I had a rain jacket and a hat. I think of hiking is a bit more like the journeys that people would prepare for in the ancient world. There was no Quick Mart to stop at along the way for a Coke or a bag of pretzels. Travelers needed to be sure not to end up on roads frequented by bandits or thieves, and travel could take weeks or months or even years to complete. Preparing for a journey was more than just getting the right clothes packed for different occasions. It could be a matter of life and death. It was active and intense, and there were serious consequences for not being prepared. And so we're in this interesting position, as we heard Janet talk about today, where Jesus invites us to be ready, to be actively getting our lives in a place where we can follow Jesus, but also to trust that Jesus will give us everything we need. Somehow those two things fit together. I'm guessing we've heard this before, that Jesus calls us to follow him. So what does that mean for our lives? How do we both prepare and trust? How can we trust God while preparing? I wonder if you have a story about a journey that you prepared for. Are there ways that helped you to understand Jesus' call for us to step into the unknown with him? What do you have to share from your own lives today?
I can't tell you how scared I was when I was preparing to go to Sudan for the first time in 2010. And I had, even though I was born in Africa, it didn't seem to matter. I was so anxious. And I packed and repacked my suitcase 10 times. And I'm not exaggerating, am I? I had no idea what I needed, even though I had a list in front of me. Anyway, I was seeing a counselor at the time, and she had a little plaque made for me that I could take along with me. And it said, "It's not about you, Janet." And I've carried that every time I've gone back, and it makes all the difference, you know, now I only pack 5 times instead of 10.
When we're going somewhere, especially if it's a new place, someplace we've not been before, for example, back in June, we went to Zion National Park, and we flew, and that was not the hard part of the journey, but then from Las Vegas, we had to drive up to Zion National Park. We didn't know where that was. We'd never been there before. So we had to rely on resources outside ourselves. And there were really two. One of them was GPS. That was very helpful to get us there. And they say, there's this expression, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Well, the reality was, if we didn't get to Zion National Park, we wouldn't have met my son. We wouldn't have gotten to see all the good stuff. We would have, so it really was about the destination in this case. And that's often true. I mean, usually we're going somewhere we really want to get to. We needed GPS, and that was helpful. That little voice, the still small voice of GPS. There's probably a sermon illustration there somewhere. But in addition to that, one thing that Anne likes to do, because GPS is not completely reliable, especially when you're driving through the desert Southwest or, you can get to dead zones, she, in anticipation, prints out written directions from Google Maps or from, I can't remember the other one, but anyway, MapQuest. And it's very helpful to have that as a fallback. I guess I'm just thinking about, the two resources of communion with God in prayer and the written word of God. that's my sermon illustration.
Today, I am adding this top of my water bottle to my Advent wreath, and because water is the most precious resource of all. When you are out in the wilderness, you can get a few days into without food, but water is pretty quick, quickly gone. I don't usually hike by myself, but this was an occasion where I was. And I realized the other thing I had been preparing for is for that alone, was to be alone, which I was delighted by. My children could never have done the hike that I did, but I still needed to be self-sufficient in this. And as I was hiking, I realized there were all sorts of other people out there, that if things got really bad, I wasn't the only person on this journey. There were lots of people with water and groups of people, and you actually signed in when you got there so that they, if you didn't show up at night, they would send the park rangers out to get you. In the Mark story, it's interesting that it says that the servants, it's multiple servants, right, who are preparing together. That's not an activity that we do on our own, but that perhaps some of the things that we are preparing for require other people, and that we are not independent, solo in that, but we have been given this other hikers along the way with us.
We went to Europe in 2010, and partly that's so I could practice Spanish. We spent 5 weeks, 2.5 weeks in Spain and 2.5 weeks in Germany and Switzerland. And we each took a backpack. That's it. I had a high school or college size backpack. Rosine had like a middle school size or elementary school size backpack. And traveling light gave us a lot of flexibility. I think sometimes we forget that life doesn't consist in the number of things that we have. Mm-hmm. So that's my way of being prepared, travel light.
When I started thinking about taking trips now, first thing I thought about was my mask. Mm-hmm. Which is a very different kind of thing to be thinking about. And we've been talking about traveling alone or how we prepare ourselves, I realized this is about preparing myself for others. It's about looking beyond myself being on a journey. It's who I'm going to meet. And then it reminded me of when we went on what we call our 3-week road trip. The girls were in elementary school, and that was going to be a long time on the road. And so I had to think, how am I going to help them prepare? How am I going to help them be on the journey? And so I made each of them it was like a package or their special trip bag. And there were different things that we would take out as the trip progressed to keep them entertained as we drove and drove and drove. So I was thinking more, it's not just myself preparing, but how do I help others that I meet? Have that be a good meeting, but also how do I prepare, help others prepare? So
when we travel to Haiti, it's a very different preparation, and a little bit of what already has been said about packing for others and preparing for others. But when we pack what little we need for ourselves, and then we think of everything that we can take for others in Haiti that we can leave behind, whether it's the clothes we're wearing or the food we take or the supplies that we have. So we take one little bag for ourselves and then a big suitcase filled with things that we're leaving behind. And that's all part of thinking ahead and preparing for who we're going to meet once we get there.
The first time I led a study abroad was to Costa Rica, where I had lived actually. That you guys are all making me realize how when you lead a group of students, you're both, again, needing to prepare for others in a major way. But that particular trip was really difficult emotionally for me because I was so nervous. It was the first time I was responsible for a group of 12 people and just me, you know. So I remember calling on my dad, and what, because he was a study abroad leader for the University of California system and had traveled a lot and had led a lot of people. And I'm just realizing the value of a mentor when you're going into certain types of travel and how much his advice impacted me as a leader, leading other people and being responsible for them. So I guess my preparation was my interactions with my father and my questions and my exploration of especially what could go wrong and what options there were when you had to meet that challenge.
When I was listening to Janet, actually, I'm not sure if I'm coming across here because I keep looking at Deb. Okay. I found myself caught up by the pile of toilet paper that was right next to her. And what Janet was saying about the hidden things, the way that we prepare. And that took me thinking back to backpacking back when I was in high school and preparing. And one of the things we end up packing up this backpack for a week. What do you do? Toilet paper was an issue. Toilet paper takes up a lot of space in a backpack. And taking out the center roll so that it is more compact, and how much do you need for a week? The toilet paper is on a journey. And then I was thinking too, early in this pandemic stuff, these Pluto videos that go around, and this Pluto dog is commenting on all the people who are so concerned about the toilet paper, and Pluto goes off of, why is it such a big deal? It just slips out and you just leave it. Trim the butt hair, get my mom to trim the butt hairs, and what's all this big deal about toilet paper? So this contrast here between how important how insignificant it is really struck me.
I think that, you know, as you talked about the toilet paper, it reminded me also of how, like, really there was a hoarding. People were hoarding toilet paper at the beginning of the pandemic. And while that was going on, I remember thinking, how do we prepare our church to continue to be church, even if we can't meet physically? Like, what creative ways do we need to show up for one another? Do we need to cultivate the community we have in ways that maybe we haven't thought about before? And just how very different ways of preparation that is. One is out of that sort of sense of scarcity, and if I don't have enough for me, you know, then what could happen? And really, what happens when you have a community that's really preparing for this life that we have together, and really how that, I think just even thinking that way just shifted something in me. And I think has taught me a lot about what it means to be someone who is preparing for Jesus as well. A lot of good reflections on that pile of toilet paper in that skit, Janet. Good prop. Zenith, were you going to share something?
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
No one will be surprised that I take my rock hammer with me when I go places. And in my mind, of course, I like to get a rock, but in my mind, I bring a piece of the place back with me. For somebody like me, a rock suits me. I don't need souvenirs and trinkets, but just a little rock. And that is my way of, I mean, that's my way of preparing. I prepare to bring back some of where I have gone back with me. And I never really thought, I mean, I thought I was going to get a rock at just a place, but it turns out I have been a number of places and I've always come back with a rock. And I learned, finally, instead of trying to pry something loose with my fingers, I learned to take a rock hammer with me. So when I go places, anywhere, I make sure I pack my rock hammer just in case. That's it.
Zenith, what I really like about that is, I think the orientation that we're having in this is that we're preparing for a place and the focus is on here. And really that gives us an orientation of there's something to be discovered out in the journey. Like we bring along the thing to help us discover and encounter the people and the places and the work ahead of us. And so how are we preparing ourselves for the work of discovery in this season of preparation, I think is Yeah, it's a really great thing to think about.
I was thinking about that too, in terms of like, before you go a place, trying to learn some of the language or the culture or the food. I mean, I always pay attention to the food and like, what is it I'm going to want to eat while I'm there? Or how can I, so trying to learn about the place where you are going and prepare to be there is a piece of it. And then I was also thinking about how I do tend to like over prepare if I let myself go to my extreme self, to the point where if it's a big trip, I need to take a sleeping pill the night before because I can't sleep because everything's going through my head. Like, did I remember to pack this? And oh, what if I need this? And what if I get lost in the airport, et cetera, et cetera. But things will always go wrong on a trip. And so I've tried to learn to let go of some of that control because I don't know what's going to happen. And some of the best things happen on a trip that are unexpected. If you're leaving space and time for the unexpected, and if you're paying attention to what's around you, you can find things that aren't in a guidebook or aren't something that you anticipated to happen. Anyway, that was something I was thinking about.
I'd like to follow up on that same concept. Hans and I were laughing out loud when we saw David Rohr's list of things to prepare. Hans and I had the wonderful opportunity to travel with David and Rosine to the country of Mexico, to the state of Oaxaca. And I think preparing is most of the fun for me, a very large part of the fun, that's learning about the place before we go. So there's one whole section of our library here is books, tons and tons of books. Well, I thought I was the champion of preparing. Oh my goodness. David Rohr has won the prize of preparing. He found the most amazing books. And part of the fun was for the four of us to get together and talk about what we learned and talk about what we thought we wanted to see and even start talking about where we want to go. The preparing in that sense was so much fun. And I think there's a wonderful analogy here. How can we as Christians prepare? And as Hans already mentioned earlier, using the idea of the GPS and the backup of the printed directions. Yes, we have the printed directions. We have the Bible. We have lots of books that can help us prepare. And then we have each other that can help us prepare for the future. And that can be really fun. I cannot remember ever going on a trip anywhere that was so much fun preparing as it was with David and Rosine. So thank you, David and Rosine, for doing that. And for reminding me of the preparation for the trip can be such a large part of the enjoyment of the trip.
And that makes me think of the, you know, rejoice, rejoice. You know, that's that line in the songs that we sing, that that even as Jesus comes into this broken world, there's a joy in the peace and the wholeness that comes from that comes as part of that waiting as well. So we're holding all of these things together. You know, we're trusting and we're preparing. We are longing, and there's a tinge of fear to these stories, right? Especially when we read in Isaiah about these earthquakes and all that's happening. There's rejoicing and there's also a sense of foreboding. And this is all a part of this Advent season that we are journeying together towards as we prepare to meet the newborn Jesus. And I'm grateful for our sharing today. And we'll have an opportunity to do this again next week as we continue on our journey.